minutes after, and we got it fixed.
That's pretty good for us.
So, you know, you guys are talking right over the intro of the show.
What you talking about?
That's because you're supposed to be quiet for a second.
Oh, well, okay. There it is. And start it.
It started. It's done.
That was it?
Of course that's it. That's the intro.
Oh, you were doing the short. Louise. You ought to do the long one at least.
No, see, then I get
it's
guff.
The new site.
Here, I'll do it twice.
What you talking about?
There, see? Okay, I'll do a longer version. How's that?
Yeah, because Brian...
What you talking about? What the fuck you talking about, man? I can't understand you, bro. You talking crazy.
Really?
No, I don't want you to turn the radio back on.
You're back on.
See, I think everything's good now.
Are we?
That was about the crappiest beginning I've ever had on a show before, I think.
I think it's the worst you've ever done.
Same
yeah.
to you.
Yeah, make sure to blame it all on me.
Yes.
Because I couldn't get you guys to shut up long enough.
I guess I better get out of my dating.
Mostly you.
Window.
Your dating window? You got a dating window?
I did have
Yeah, we're over here closing. Busting our tails trying to get this thing working, and she's online dating.
I helped. I found
She found
Nike.
A line of code.
I sure did.
Oh, code. Hey, high five.
Thank you.
Nice job. Very nice. Well, everybody, we are so glad to be back. Last week was hell not being able to do the show. It was absolutely hell.
They went through withdrawal.
Oh, man, it was rough. So, but I got moved into the new studios, as you can
see. The spacious
see. It is quite spacious. We're not going to give you a tour tonight or anything, but it is quite a bit
we
more spacious.
We should put on a Matt Helmet cam.
We should.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Just tour the place.
Just tour the place that way, yeah. We could, but we're not going to. So, maybe after some boxes are unpacked, we can do that. But, yeah, it is bigger and it's cheaper, so yay. We are excited about that. And no, I am no longer in the chat room, so if you are trying to say anything directly to Baxter, I will not be hearing it. So that's
and
all
you won't
there's
be seeing it.
I won't be seeing it, because I can't hear it, but I definitely won't be seeing it either. Okay, so we've done some stuff, though, over these past 2 weeks.
We have?
Yes, we have. Zombieland was one of them.
Zombieland was so good.
We're going to start with Zombieland, I think, because that's a good idea. And, okay, for any of you that saw The Hangover was a fantastic summer comedy. And it gives you a new appreciation for nude Asian men leaping out of trunks with crowbars.
It does.
It really does. But it was a really great movie. Well, Zombieland was the Hangover of zombie movies. That's really the only way to say it, except there were no naked Asian men that I can think of.
So it's just like it, but completely different.
It's completely different, though,
but
yeah.
But it is just like it.
But it is, yeah.
It's very good.
It keeps you laughing, that's for sure.
So if you're in Denver on Friday, we're trying to get a group together to go.
Move your mic up just a little bit more.
So if you're in Denver on Friday, we're trying to get a group to go.
That's
is
one
that
way,
better?
That's one way to do it. I don't know about the accent you had there, but...
It was Oklahoma coming out.
That sounded not
well,
Oklahoma.
How did we get to see Zombieland already?
Well, because
well,
we went to...
Than everybody.
Yes. We often, when it comes to things like this... You know, I'm getting a phone call right now, and I don't know...
Greg is at the hospital.
Greg's at the hospital? Who's Greg? Who's saying that?
Celtic Witch.
Oh, no. Greg's at the hospital.
Really?
I bet you that's the phone call I'm getting
oh.
right now. So hang on 1 second.
Yes, it is as funny as Shaun of the Dead.
Hello?
Totally no, as funny.
Yeah, it really is. It's a very fun movie. Brian needs me to switch out keyboards.
Yes, obviously. You hear a lot of real heavy typing.
And I can do that. Well, whatever Greg's in the hospital for, we're hoping he's okay. So we'll hopefully find out in just a moment what that's about. Greg is our pet psychic, and we really appreciate him, so hopefully he's okay. But he should have seen this coming. How was
He'd
I supposed
be the first
to?
One to no. say he wouldn't. Though.
I know. But, you know, how could I resist? That's the perfect thing to say.
Where are you planning to see the movie?
At the Continental?
On the big screen, people, on the big
screen.
Well,
I don't know if it's on the big screen, but it's at the Continental.
Yeah, big party
this Friday.
Notora is inviting everybody on her... Not everybody on her, but every, she has been dating a lot. But
I have been dating. I'm so proud of myself.
But yeah, she's inviting everybody down to see Zombieland at the Continental.
No, it's not showing at the Landmark.
It's the Continental.
I sent you text.
Continental. It's at the Continental.
It's at the Continental.
For those of you that are in the Denver area, that is. We apologize for making this such a local show for a moment, but yeah. So Notoria is paying, so it might be worth it to fly in. For that. What?
My name is changing after this show.
But yeah, Zombieland, we highly recommend. The cameo is
don't even talk
one of
about
the best thing. Well, I'm just
going
to say.
It is wonderful.
Yeah, and once I'm not going to spoil it. Do not leave until the credits are over.
Exactly. Especially if you are over 35. Because otherwise you may not understand it.
We had to explain it all to you.
Exactly, because I am only
with pictures.
23 today. So.
Oh, today.
So, yes. But, yeah, it was a fantastic movie. It's very fun. The big complaint I had, I think, was that the zombies were all...
Well, I'm sure I sent
one. The zombies were all bleeding from the mouth profusely, and that was kind of old after a while. But other than that, it was good. We also went and hosted the sneak preview of Paranormal Activity.
You know, I still say for $11,000, that was a bang up
for
job. $11,000.
For $11,000, if they purchased the HD handy cam that they were using, it was a great movie.
It really was.
But you know, the thing that Nator that I say about that is how little you spend shouldn't impact stupid moves you make.
Exactly.
Well, I had my eyes closed through a lot of it, so I missed a lot of the stupid.
Okay, so what the main thing is this movie made a couple of vital mistakes near the end. Other than that, it was excellent. They did a really good job. I could have done better, but I do think that compared to the crap that we're getting fed these days as, you know, in the guise of, hey, this is a horror movie, I would say that Paranormal Activity is definitely one of the better ones to come down the pike for a while. So, but I'm kind of a horror movie snob myself. It's just the way it is.
Yes.
But, yeah, we went down. We had to give a little talk beforehand. So, you know, me and Brian just got up and said blah, 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 and sat down, and everybody cheered because we were done quickly.
That is not why they cheered. You guys wowed them over. They were all impressed. So hopefully they'll show up at the party.
Yeah, yeah. Which we'll have some news we got to talk about there, too.
It is Naked Gladiator.
People, that was the first time this has ever been said on this show.
Yes. Yeah, especially by Notor. So we will be finding out what Notor is raving about in just a few minutes also. Brian and I also went out and did some more filming in the woods. Same movie, but for some reason seemed like a different movie. This time I was a psycho murdering clown. I was an evil clown, I think is how it was written in the...
I'd like to interject there.
Interject.
All clowns are evil.
Well, that's true. That's true.
There's no such thing as a non-evil clown.
Yeah, you make a good point. Although... I was going to say Blinky the Clown, but I still think he's dead. Yeah. Yeah, so now he is evil. Because if you see him, you shouldn't be. So there you go. There you go. Krusty the Clown? I don't know if he's that evil.
No.
No. Okay. He's more Jewish.
Pennywise?
Well, Pennywise
You're
is
evil.
Funny.
That's true.
Is what he is. Okay, but anyway... So, yeah, that movie will be getting reviewed soon, and I can guarantee you that the reviews will be bad, but it is hilarious. There is a small spoiler. I do take someone out with a rubber chicken. I won't say how, but it's a pivotal scene in the movie. Okay, what else have we done? Okay, we have some exciting news for the Denverites listening. The Halloween show with Peter Boyles this year will be getting done at the Yak and Yeti. And that will be on the 30th of October.
Followed by a sleeping at the Yak and Yeti the day of the 31st.
Exactly. and which also means that the day of the 31st, we are going right into our Halloween party at the Yak and Yeti, which will be abnormally fun. It's going to be ridiculously, retardedly fun. So we definitely want you guys to come to that, because there's going to be all kinds of stuff.
Evil guy.
I'm working on right now, seeing if the absolute love of my existence, Karen Stolznow, will make it out to that. And
we're all invited to the wedding.
Yes. Yes, Brian will be doing the services.
In a kilt.
I've always wanted to conduct one and photograph it at the same time.
I think that would be
That's good.
Completely different perspective.
Yeah, it would be. It would be.
Helmet cam.
That'll be even better.
Yeah, you can do that. But we're all very excited about the wedding, except for Karen, who has not been notified yet. So, but I'm sure that'll
It'll be just like Tam.
Just like Tam?
Yeah,
the wedding there.
Yeah,
she knew about that.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. She knew weeks ahead of time. I knew weeks ahead of time. Yeah, everybody's
the whole world.
Man. Everybody's acting surprised about that.
That's just because you're well connected.
That's true. Definitely well connected. All right. So getting close to Halloween, we're going to start really getting crazy around here. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Stu just said Peter's going to be at the Yeti. So what version of Rick Nelson is going to be there with him? The nice thing is we control the Yak and Yetis. So.
Yes, we do. There will be no Rick Nelson. He will not be allowed in the door. We need to Stu, you could be the doorman.
That's true.
Just to make sure that he never walks through the door. Because you can have, I don't know what size of shoe you wear, but I've increased the size of his rectum to a size 12 from last year. So I'm sure that that can be helped. For those of you that don't know, there's a local investigator by the name of Rick Nelson, who is one of the biggest putzes.
Relative.
Yeah, he has no relatives that were killed in plane crashes. But he is the biggest putz, I think, in the paranormal community. And that is saying a lot.
That is just putting him above Moon and everybody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, because he's a fucking idiot. Moon has some genius behind his evil.
That's true.
You know, he is pure evil. Rick is not evil.
Ooh,
he is way
insult.
Too stupid.
He's dumb and not evil.
Yes, that's exactly.
Wow,
yeah.
What a horrid combination.
Yeah, he is. He's just a fucking moron. And he proved it. And there were death threats from me to him last year. And
And they invite us back.
Yes. And he quivered like a fucking little kitten. It was adorable. So anyway, I'm sorry.
I wasn't there. I can't speak to it.
Yeah. Well, I have to recount it. It's just one of those.
It's going
to
be one of the memories that's going to stick with you forever. Because I think I've heard this
memories.
Five times.
It was one of my better memories.
I
this
like
month.
The way the camera's set up.
Do you?
You're not in the picture, and neither am I.
Yeah,
it's like the Notor show.
It is the Notor show. Go for it. Go.
So they don't deliver.
Talking to the chat room is not. All right, damn it. Okay.
I was supposed to say something?
Well, you were supposed to take over the show for us.
Let's see. We talked about. Did we say the Halloween party?
Halloween party, yes.
Halloween
we did.
Party. And what about.
Oh, we're supposed to be in Yellow Stream Dream something.
Yeah, Yellow what is
Scene
that?
Magazine.
Yellow Scene Magazine. To me, it's a golden shower rag. Enthusiast
That's
rag
what
is
I was
what it
wondering.
Sounds like. But somehow it's like some popular magazine here that actually has nothing to do with urine. So,
and we're doing a pseudo lecture on the 17th.
Yeah, so we should be in Yellow Scene today. We did the photo shoot yesterday for it. So
by photo shoot means
click.
Everybody smile, click, run.
Bye. So yeah, that was quite the photo shoot that we traveled that far for. But yeah, we should be in there. It's a Colorado X case files of the paranormal based on ghost hunters, kind of article. So that will be out. That's out today. So we'll have to see if we can find something on that.
I'm working on it.
And then, yes, we have a lecture on the 17th. We have the Boulder Campus, Haunted Boulder Campus walking tours that we will be conducting over the next few weeks. There'll
right.
be
Why
two
are we doing
a night.
That in winter?
Right after we write them.
After we write them, yes. Well, because that's the way it is. Oh, and Rhonda's calling me. Hello.
Why is he taking
hey, I'm on the air.
We're supposed to be on the air?
Okay. Well, then I'll talk to you later. Right. Okay. Sometimes you have to make them feel bad.
Oh.
Because when you say I'm on the air, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. So you have to do that.
Or you just forget the show altogether.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That was pretty funny.
So now I'm getting texts.
Yes, we are doing a walking tour in the winter.
Unless you can get Halloween twisted into the summer somehow, we're stuck with that.
Yeah. We could have Halloween in May.
They do Christmas in July.
Exactly. That's why I was thinking Halloween in May.
We're not in yellow scene yet.
We're not? Okay.
Actually, I'd be getting Google hits on it if it was there.
That's true. So, yeah, we have that fun going on. And any word on what's going on with Greg yet?
No, they said they'll let us know as soon as they know.
Oh, okay.
We could call him and ask him.
That's true.
I know you're in the AR right now.
But what's going on? You should have taken the hypnosis quit smoking thing with me sooner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they told me, oh, too bad you didn't make it in time to take it. So.
Really?
I didn't have time.
Well, I must have hypnotized them into letting me take the extension because they let me go.
Well, they like you better than they like me.
You can always sign up for it again later.
I'm going to change my name.
Well, you do that anyway, so.
Yes. Well, that's because of my dating history.
I guess that's true. It's good thinking. So.
So Stu's going to be out of town for October, except the Halloween weekend.
For October.
So we won't have anyone to record for Prosperity.
We have us.
But you guys are going to be giving the tour.
Oh, we aren't going to record the tour. That's dumb.
Yeah, that would be a mess. Yeah, that would be a mess. So,
all right.
Should we call our guest?
I was thinking about it.
He's been chatting.
I know he's been chatting, but...
I'm texting.
I think we should probably call him. Ooh.
Does he want to be called?
Announcement
he
from
wants
Logan.
To be called.
Tuesday, okay. Death Clock album.
That's true.
I've been spelling it wrong.
Death Clock?
Yes.
Well, that's because you've never actually seen the show, am I correct?
I've seen the stuff you guys have shown me.
The excerpts, yeah. You actually haven't seen the show. You know what? This new case on, I'm having trouble getting my earphone thing out.
He said call his cell phone.
I don't have his cell phone. I have his landline.
Oh. He doesn't want you to talk to him on the landline.
Okay. Well, then ask him if he would private
you. Okay.
Yeah, tell him
do you know how to private chat?
Yes, I do.
Oh, he said that?
No, I didn't.
Brian said that. That's the difference. All right. Stretch this out here. Oops, I say oops. Now I'm all ready to talk.
Oh, he does not know how to private chat. Okay,
just
so...
private chat him.
Yeah.
I did, but he didn't answer last time.
Because he may not have seen the tab.
Okay, look at the tab. I'm private chatting you.
Okay, underneath where all the words are, you'll see a little tab that'll be there that you can click on. It should be over towards the left, right? Is that where those show up?
No, it's right underneath the chat.
Well, that's what I mean, to the left of the window itself. We'll see what happens.
He could email
So in the meantime, okay, email it.
Whatever. You know, we'll figure it out.
We
could always call him on the landline and he could just give it to us.
Okay, why don't you all go ahead and do that? Because
well, what if he doesn't want us to call him on the landline?
Call him on the landline, get the cell phone number, hang up from the landline, and then call him on the cell
but
phone
what
number.
But what if he's waiting for sort of radio contest person
duck.
To call? And it's like a farting contest and he does not want to miss the phone call.
He is a smart man. He can handle that.
Not if I'm calling him on that landline and he may not have call waiting.
Oh, okay, so we don't have...
You know, you guys with a chat room over there are really making this difficult.
There we go. I see him. There we go. Here's the number.
You just want to read it to me over there? Because that'd be fine. This is me typing in the phone number right now. Is everybody getting this?
Yeah, it's beep, 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 beep,
beep.
Mine actually does the DTMF tones, so we couldn't use it.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be good. Sounds like him.
It does.
Let's see if I can text it.
that's better.
Hey, is this Matt?
This is Matt. How are you?
That's fantastic. This is Baxter. We actually managed to do this. I'm impressed. So, why don't you do us a favor and give a little bio on yourself for all of the listeners?
Okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to give you a little bio. I've been teaching physics and astronomy at both the high school and college level for a bit over 10 years now. And let's see, I started teaching full-time probably back on 1998, but before then in graduate school I was teaching for, about 4 years as a TA. And it was back in graduate school that I really started to get interested in the whole skepticism thing. It was a result of me reading Carl Sagan's Demon Haunted World.
Oh, yeah.
Back in. Oh, yeah. I was always a fan of Carl Sagan ever since I was a kid. Cosmos was the real first breakthrough book for me that got me into science and whatnot. But when I read Demon Haunted World, of course, I read it because Carl Sagan's name was attached to it. And as I was reading it, I saw that he mentioned this cool magazine called The Skeptical Inquirer and another organization called SciCop, Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what got me a little bit deeper into things because I started to subscribe to Skeptical Inquirer and then I just ate it up and now I'm just a big-time skeptic geek and I love it.
Now, have you been able to go to, like, TAM or events like that?
Oh, yeah. I've gone to TAM 3 times. Actually, I went to TAM 7 this last July, and I performed in the TAM talent show. I actually did a skeptical physics lesson there.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, very cool. Now, you call yourself the skeptical teacher. What do you feel, other than talent shows, how are you feeling that you're making your real contribution to the skepticism movement?
Well, I try to do that in a few different ways. I've been, as I said, I've been teaching physics for over 10 years now, and I've actually, in my classroom, incorporated a great many skeptically related lessons. I kind of like to do demonstrations that illustrate various points of critical thinking and so on. For me, to give you an example, probably the most spectacular and interesting one I did is the bed of nails demonstration. And that is where I lay down on a bed of nails, and I have a second bed of nails placed on top of me, and on top of that is a concrete cinder block, and then I have a colleague come and smash the cinder block with a sledgehammer.
Right.
And I get up, and there's no damage, and the kids and I go through this whole exercise of trying to explain what's going on here, and I illustrate to them the importance of using Occam's razor as a logical tool to basically cut away the BS explanations of, mysticism and woo, and then we investigate the actual physics. And I do other demonstrations like that, too, in other lessons. I walk on broken glass, I break boards with my bare-handed feet, like karate demonstrations. In other ways, we discuss a variety of topics related to skepticism, why cell phones aren't going to give you brain cancer.
I am so glad today he blogged about that.
Yeah, that's a big subject actually for us. So,
well, that's my background. So,
yeah, Brian actually has a bit of background with EMF and everything. So that's been something he's complained about for a while.
I do want you to say one quick thing to him just to set him off.
Okay,
Edmund Scientific.
In just one moment. Reed is mentioning that there's going to be a Chicago Skepticamp that you may be involved with.
Yes, actually. I've been talking to one of the skeptics, Elise Henders, and she lives in Chicago. And sorry about that, that's my cell phone battery charging.
That's okay.
Back in back in July when we were in Tampa, some people started kicking around the idea of, you know, doing Skeptic Camp in Chicago. And Elise and I have been communicating over over email, and there's actually a website set up for it, and I'll give it to you right now.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, the it sounds a little bit weird, so I might have to start for you. It's called Skeptic Camp. It's a skepchicamp.com. And we set that up, and we're actually going to be having our first planning meeting for Chicago area at Skeptic Camp this coming Saturday.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, if you want, if you're able to, okay, very good. Reed put it in the chat room so everybody can see it.
Thank you, Reed.
Skepticamp. Okay. Skepticamp.org.
Copy and paste that.
That's kind of hard to say.
It's Chicago.
Skepticamp.
There it is.
That's Chicagoan. .com. He put .org. So everybody, that's .com. So good one, Reed. Good job. And you went to a lesbian chat room.
It took me to a lesbian chat room.
Notorious having issues, obviously. So anyway, either that or that was Reed's plan from the beginning.
Oh, he's evil.
It could have been that. What I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to hand you over to Brian.
He did make a mistake.
He's got a couple of comments for you.
He did make a mistake.
We've got, we need multiple microphones.
Yeah, we do. We do. And while that's going on, I'm going to switch out Brian's keyboard before he hurts somebody.
I'm not going to hurt anybody other than the keyboard. what I was going to talk about was something I was following around in JREF and noticed that you were talking about, and it was just so fun to watch. Thought maybe you'd like to talk about it, was the whole Edmund Scientific fiasco.
Oh, yes. I was hoping that you guys would have picked up on that. Did you see my blog link about that?
Not only did I read it when you posted it, but I'm on it right now.
Yeah. Let me just tell everybody. I have a link on my website. By the way, my website, if you just go to Google and search for Skeptic Teacher or Skeptical Teacher, it's the first hit. I'm putting the link right now into the chat room. Anyway, a recent post I made is regarding something that upset me a great deal as a physics teacher, especially because this buys into the whole, ghost hunter, quote-unquote, nonsense of taking an EMF detector and whenever it beats a little bit, you say, oh, well, this is a ghost, instead of wiring in the wall or, your cell phone or, electrical lights above or something. And this company called Edmund Scientific, which is it's a pretty old outlet for selling scientific equipment for educational use. They've kind of gone over to the dark side, in my opinion, because what they've started to do is, shockingly, they've started to take these standard EMF detectors that lots of physics teachers and people buy to do actual, physical demonstrations in classes, and they've started to actively market these things as ghost meters or ghost detectors, and they actually call it, on their website, a ghost meter. Let me just read a little bit and see what they actually say here on their website. They say, quote, detects paranormal presences, and this is the preferred unit of paranormal investigators. This ghost meter can be used by laymen with professional results. And I'm sitting here, I saw this, and I was absolutely flabbergasted that they were doing this, because to me, as a physics teacher, this is like the equivalent of opening up the biology section of the catalog and seeing them sell creationist crap.
Yes.
To a physics teacher, that's what this is like. It's like, okay, you're a biologist, and you open this up, and they're like, oh, here's the little handy book for why the Earth is only 6,000 years old. I mean, it's the equivalent of that. It's like, you're going to be joking. You're actually serious in marketing it. And not to be outdone in how stupid the woo is getting over there at Edmund, what I call pseudoscientific. Now, I don't call them Edmund Scientific anymore. I call them Edmund Pseudoscientific. They are also marketing and actively selling, get this, you guys are going to love this one, they're selling remote viewing DVDs.
Yeah, we saw that, didn't we, on there?
It doesn't surprise me at this point. They're just jumping on the anything-to-make-money bandwagon, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've been wondering about. I've been talking to some other physics teachers that I know about this, and they're just as shocked as I am about it. And their thoughts are kind of the same. You know, is that I think maybe they've figured out what a lot of other pseudoscientific goobers have figured out. You know, if you find credulous people, you can market any kind of shit to them and they'll buy it.
Well, and I think there's a good example of this because the EMF meter that they're selling. If you're familiar with any of the professional grade EMF meters, this is about as low down on the scale as you could get. I mean, it's pretty much a child's toy.
Yeah, they're pretty. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture, and that's about it. You're right. It's got an on switch. It's got an on switch, and it's got five LEDs. And that's it. There's not really much else.
The reason that they're selling this one is this is the one that. Let's see. It started out. Who started using the K2 meter?
What do you mean?
Ghost Hunters is using it now, but they weren't the ones that started with it. But this is the meter that everybody uses.
Was it Most Haunted?
It may have been Most Haunted. They don't use it necessarily to find the ghost. Now they're using it as some sort of a...
Ouija board.
A digital Ouija board. They basically are using it for yes-no questions. And they'll just drop it into the middle of the room and talk to it.
So what they've done is they've gone from, vaguely bumping around in the dark and scaring themselves to vaguely standing in one spot and scaring themselves.
Oh, exactly. You know, we actually witnessed somebody that had been sold one of these meters by a, and I'm using my little quotey fingers here, paranormal team that they could communicate with the ghost in their house. And I spent the good part of an hour explaining to this family how it picked up the bad wiring that was in their basement and showing it to them. But, nobody bothered to tell them that. It was just a ghost machine that they could talk to the other side and talk to this little girl that lived in their basement. It was just terrifying.
Oh, my.
But this is the kind of a meter that they're using for it because they're cheap and they're pretty easy to set off, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the thing that... I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, and this is what folks like the people at Edmund Pseudoscientific are doing. I mean, what it is they're playing off of people's ignorance. You know, a lot of people don't understand how EMFs work, how electromagnetic fields work. People thinking that cell phones can lead to cancer while at the same time going to the tanning bed every week.
Exactly.
Actually, I had a student who has a friend that does that. She gets all freaked out about cell phones causing brain cancer, yet she's rabid tanner at the tanning bed, so they'll figure that one out. But anyway, the thing is that, they play off with people's ignorance about the physics, and, these people think that they get this little beeping meter, it's a cool piece of technology, and they think that because it's a cool piece of technology, that somehow makes what they're doing with it science. Well, they don't understand that the actual science involved is what's going on in your head more than anything.
Well, that's the nice thing about a lot of this equipment that's being used now is it's so far outside of the comprehension of the people that are using it, and they refuse to do any training on what it might actually be used for. So they get any kind of a result, don't understand it, because they don't have a clue what this device is doing, and hey, it must be a ghost.
Everything is the ghost, right? It's not. They don't understand that electrical wiring sets it off. They don't understand that all the other gizmos they've got attached to their body, like their temperature meter and their cell phones and their little video recorder and all this stuff. They don't understand that stuff can set the meter off, right? so of course everything. Wow! It's like, hey, wherever I go in this spooky house, this thing's beeping. Yeah, that's because it's detecting your equipment.
Exactly.
But they, kind of funny.
Stu got it right. It was Chris. Yes. Chris Fleming was the one who was pushing it.
It was Chris Fleming who was the first person to use the K2 meter. In fact, he actually sells it too. And
he sells it.
He's a very well known, quoting fingers again, TV psychic. That was one of his big money makers. Is he sells those to up and coming groups.
Well, and he's funny because he likes to, Chris Fleming likes to change his position whenever it's convenient, so he can hang out with the skeptics occasionally and say, oh yeah, I'm a skeptic. And then he hops over to the paranormal side and says, talk to this thing. So Chris Fleming needs to be stopped just as bad as everyone else, because if someone's got the ability, just like everyone else, you know, if someone's got the ability to jump over to the skeptic side and talk sense, and yet still hop over to the paranormal side and talk complete bullshit, well, then you know that they know exactly what they're doing, and they're not guilty of just being dumb. They're guilty of being evil.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference. You know, people like that, you know, it's basically, from what I've seen in my years of watching the various pseudoscientific stuff out there, I've come to the conclusion that there's basically two types of people. There's the ignorant true believers, right? And,
right.
You know, these may be some of the people who are looking at the Edmunds pseudoscientific page and buying the MFT detector, like the people you're talking about who think that they're going to talk to the child ghosts in their basement. And then there's the cynics, like Chris Fleming, and the people who run Edmunds Scientific, and so on, who know that what they're selling is complete crap.
Right.
But they're doing it anyway. And Chris, okay, somebody in your chat room just said Chris Fleming has a habit of getting pushed into bed with nails.
That came from Reap. Who knows if he's seen that one?
We don't know what Reap's been drinking tonight. So.
Of course, he's got that spelling on it. We don't know if that's a Reap-created character either.
Oh, God.
So we'll have to ask him.
We do have breaking news from the hospital.
We have breaking news, so we'll have to hold. Hang on just one second here. Go ahead.
Breaking news from the hospital is he's waiting in the emergency room and didn't say anything, but he told me about a new TV show that's coming out.
Obviously, Greg is not at death's door.
Yeah, he's not at death's door. Okay. But I should read this. Are you ready?
Okay. I don't know if you can hear me.
I'm going to read the press release here.
We got a press release here, so.
Discovery Channel tackles unexplained phenomena with all new series Ghost Lab to premiere October 6th.
Ghost Lab.
Silver Springs, Maryland, home of, you know, everything paranormal. With the help of the latest technology, two brothers have uncovered some of the most intriguing results in supernatural research to date, including a possible recording of a Civil War soldier talking. Meet Brad and Barry Kling, Texas natives who in 2007 founded the Everyday Paranormal, an investigation team who has explored more than 70 locations and given a new twist to paranormal research. Their team of investigators featured on the all-new 13-part series Ghost Lab premieres October the 6th.
Nice.
We'll do this. Tackle what are thought to be some of America's most haunted locations with sophisticated equipment. They have sophisticated equipment in a house decked out with traveling the Ghost Lab. The 24-foot car hauler is capable of providing 200,000 watts of electricity. Do we think that might set off an EMF meter, people? to power audio, video, and photo analysis stations, flat screen televisions, and an interactive touchscreen smart board. Microsoft must have promoted this. The lab also houses surveillance video cameras capable of shooting 300 feet away in total darkness with 180-degree peripheral view, temperature, humidity, and dew point data loggers, various digital cameras including thermal imaging cameras, audio recorders, and more than 8,000 feet of video cable.
Please don't tell me this goes on too much longer.
This
high-tech
lab enables the investigators to analyze blah, 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 blah. Basically, they're saying that they are a professional
mobile
ghost unit. Yeah,
that's going to be another shit show. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, basically, they're just jumping on the bandwagon. I mean, I never actually saw the show Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel until I was at Dragon Con
Ooh, he got there at the wrong time.
3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I was down in Atlanta at Dragon Con, and I don't have cable TV, right? So I'm checking out this crazy show, Ghost Hunters, and I'd heard about it, but I never watched it. And I can't believe they can actually make a show out of this crap. I mean, it's unbelievably bad. It's like, they shouldn't call it Ghost Hunters. They should rename the show to doofuses who stumble around in the dark and say, did you hear that? I mean,
right.
Because that's what they do.
Right,
that's
right.
All they
well,
do.
Matt, the problem is that you missed the first two seasons. And although they weren't fantastic by any sense of the word, they were much better than they are now. They actually approached things with a skeptical mind. They used as much science as they were capable of, you know, with their limited knowledge of science, but they approached things at least with a skeptical mind, and they didn't find any ghosts at all for the first two seasons. Not a single ghost. And you know what? The ratings were great. But then Sci-Fi got a little panicked that they better keep things moving or the ratings might go down. So
right.
They
so
started.
They decided.
Yeah.
To move
it. So it started going right on downhill in a big hurry. So all the believers started latching onto the show, and all the people that liked it for the first two seasons stepped right out and don't watch it anymore. So
yeah, now it just looks like a really bad half-hour-long version of the Blair Witch Project.
It is.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
It looks just awful, and I think to myself, wow, how can anybody make a TV show out of this crap?
I am watching some of the pictures from Ghost Lab.
Oh, you got pictures from Ghost Lab?
Oh, yeah.
They have, I want their van. It's really cool.
It is nice.
They got a nice van for Ghost Lab.
But,
that's great.
They have pictures that, I mean, look at this.
The lighting is absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's all going to be very dramatic, yeah. It looks like. Oh, well, in fact, they label Ghost Hunters as a docudrama.
And they're all bodybuilders.
Docu-soap.
Docu-soap, sorry, it's a docu-soap. And they state that a docu-soap is something that is scripted.
Right,
so
it is.
So you can tell right there that it's the show is full of shit, so. And it's too bad, you know. We've known those guys for a long time, and it's sad to see them go over to the dark side quite so much. So, Reed had mentioned on there earlier in the chat room about if to ask Matt if something was going to destroy the world.
LHC is going to destroy the
LHC.
No, because they're never going to get it up to full power now. They're afraid because it's going to be another solder joint.
Yeah, well, the large Hadron Collider will destroy the Earth. Let me give you the short answer. No. But I actually have another blog post on that.
How
can
so many people be wrong?
Yeah.
I mean,
especially the non-scientist.
Yeah, how can the non-scientist be wrong about this? They've got God telling them.
It's interesting. Basically, when you have these people... Well, okay, let me just point out what the Large Hadron Collider is. This is the big particle accelerator that got started up last year at the European Research Institute called CERN in Switzerland, and part of the current elite over in France. And it's the largest particle accelerator ever built by humans. And they're whipping these protons around this humongous ring at super high velocities, close to the speed of light, and smashing them together for the purposes of doing a lot of really cool basic particle physics. Now, I won't go into the details of that, but as some of your listeners and you guys have not heard, right, there are people out there who are screaming about how, well, this could destroy the Earth, right, by, for example, creating a black hole, which would suck up the planet, right? And if you go on YouTube, you can check out some really cool YouTube footage of, you know, what it might look like if the Earth would be sucked up into a black hole.
Right.
But there's really three big mistakes that these people make. There's a lot of other smaller, crazy ones, but these are the three biggies about, you know, why the Large Hadron Collider is not going to destroy our planet. And so I was getting to 1, 2, 3. They're on my blog post in more detail. But the first one are these things called cosmic rays.
Right.
Cosmic rays are naturally occurring events. They're basically, for the most part, ultra-high velocity protons that come out somewhere in the cosmos. They smash them to the Earth's atmosphere. And when these things smash into our atmosphere, they are smashing into our atmosphere at energies that are much, much higher than what the Large Hadron Collider can do. Right? The Large Hadron Collider cannot come anywhere close to the energy level that these cosmic rays can.
Right.
Cosmic rays are smashing into our atmosphere all the time, and they've been doing this for billions and billions of years, right? So we have literally billions of years of these naturally occurring, quote-unquote, experiments, and the Earth is still here. Right? Now, what some people will say, and this has been a counter-argument that some of these pseudoscientists and people have come back at me on, they said, well, okay, but the problem is, you know, the cosmic rays are moving with respect to the Earth, and in the Large Hadron Collider, you have counter-rotating beams, right? And so the velocity of the collision is zero with respect to the Earth. So they'll argue, oh, well, so the black holes that are created with these cosmic rays will pass through the Earth, and it's not a threat, whereas a black hole created by the Large Hadron Collider will just sit there, and then it'll suck up.
Right.
Well, okay, again, this is a fail. This is a major physics fail, okay? And the reason why this is a major physics fail is because, well, there's this other big particle accelerator called Fermilab, the Tevatron at Fermilab.
Uh-huh.
And it basically does the same thing that the Large Hadron Collider is planned to do. And the Fermilab accelerator, it doesn't do it at quite as high energy level as the Large Hadron Collider. It's about 1 tera electron volt, whereas the Large Hadron Collider is around 7 or 8 tera electron volts, but it's pretty close. And Fermilab has been doing these counter-rotating beam collisions for like 20 or 30 years at these ultra-high energy levels. And last time I looked, you know, I actually live in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
We're still here. So these people are going nuts, and they're screaming about, you know, this horrible event that's going to occur when the Large Hadron Collider gets turned on. But what they don't tell a gullible public or gullible people who buy into this nonsense is that it's already really been going on artificially and naturally. And so we're not having any problems.
Right.
But the funniest part is the third argument about why they're wrong. The funniest thing is, if you actually look at the physics and you go through the calculations about, okay, assume they're right and assume a black hole is created and so on, how big would the black hole be and how dangerous would it be? And I crunched some of the numbers, and I'll give you the quick numbers here. If you assume that the Large Hadron Collider has many, many collisions, and every one of them creates a black hole, say a million of them, and they all merge into this one big mega black hole. What will happen is, it'll end up having a mass of like 10 to the minus 14th grams. Okay. As far as black holes go, that's pretty small. Actually, as far as anything goes, that's pretty small.
Right, right.
And if you do a calculation to calculate what's called the Schwarzschild radius, or the radius of the event horizon of that black hole, which gives you a basic idea of the size, it comes out to about 10 to the minus 44th meters, or that's about 10 to the 28th times smaller than a proton.
Wow.
Right, so this thing, if it's the worst-case scenario, and what they say does happen, you end up creating a black hole that is so ultra-tiny that it wouldn't interact with anything. It was too damn small.
It wouldn't be much spaghettification out of that, I guess.
It would, but you'd be really, really...
Well, if you extend the calculation even further, and you say, okay, let's assume this ultra-tiny black hole actually does interact with mass of the Earth, what would happen? Well, the calculations basically show that if it does, it would eat up 1 gram of the Earth's mass, but it would take about 3 billion, that's billion with a B, it would take about 3 billion years to do it. So 1 gram of Earth's mass in 3 billion years. Yeah, that's the worst case scenario. Yet, the hilarious thing about this is the WHO's response to this. Their response goes something like, oh, well, you're just speculating when you make those calculations.
Oh, we've heard that one before.
Yeah, we've heard that.
So the funny thing is, it's okay for them to speculate, but it's not okay for us to speculate with actual theoretical equations that have been proven behind it.
That's because they're
completely just, you know, hands-off, blind speculation that's not supported by any known physics whatsoever is acceptable, but speculation that's actually based on physics is not acceptable.
it's nice to
see that kind of thinking.
And it's amazing how often we get to see that kind of thinking. Oh, Lord. Now, Reed was mentioned something about
You know, the floor just dropped about 3 inches over
there. Yes, oh, did it? That's very interesting. Oh, the door must have slammed outside. Who knows? Expensive apartments, you know. But Reed was mentioning something about monopoles were going to destroy the world. And I think that really depends on the stripper dancing on them.
That's true.
To be a real danger. Because I've seen some of the ones down at the Paper Tiger. But
the whole magnetic monopole thing, that's just kind of weird to me. Actually, when I was at Dragon Con, I gave a talk on the Large Hadron Collider and why it's not going to destroy the planet, you know, when we turn it on and all this stuff. Somebody mentioned, you know, what about magnetic monopoles? And I said, well, what about them? You know, first of all, they only, as far as I know, exist in theory. Oh, yeah, Reed's on the chat room. He says, I asked him about that at DragonCon.
Yep.
Hi, Reed. Somebody said, you know, what about magnetic monopoles? I said, so what? So far, they exist only in theory. And even if we found them in nature, I have no idea why they would even be a problem, because let's suppose the Large Hadron Collider does create some magnetic monopoles, right? Presumably it would have some magnetic monopoles that are North Pole, and some presumably to have some that are South Pole, and, you know, opposite magnetic poles attract. So you have two magnetic monopoles that come together and make a standard magnetic dipole.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically getting a bunch of little bar magnets. And I don't know why this is supposed to tie into the end of the world. Though I'm sure it has something to do with 2012. I'm sure it has something to do with 2012.
Yes. Everything ties into 2012.
Yeah, everything. It's going to be... Yeah, there are a whole bunch of people in the chat room that are talking about the 2012 emergency kit.
Right. Yep. And
I can't wait to see the website that's pulling that stuff.
Yeah, well, the new pair of underwear, I think, is in that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I thought so.
You know what I put in it?
What?
A keg and a lawn chair. I'm just going to go out and watch.
A keg and a lawn chair. Well, that works. That's a good kit. So what is next on your agenda of activity there, Mr.
Sending
Lowry?
Send me my picture.
Well, yeah, Nator wants a picture. He
knows which picture too.
So what's next for you? What's the next impact you're going to attempt to make?
Well, we've already started working on it. And I say we because it's not just me. I'm part of a group of skeptical educators, and we call ourselves the Critical Thinking Education Group. And I want to give a shout-out to our website, and I'm going to copy and paste that into the chat room.
Yeah, dude.
The website is www.criticalteaching.org, or you can just go Google Critical Thinking Education Group. It's something that we got started back at TAM 6 in 2008. A group of us got together, and we met at TAM 6, and most of us are high school teachers. There are some college teachers, and then there are some people who do educational research. And we have started to basically gather this mostly online community of people who are both skeptical and teachers and want to spread critical thinking more broadly in the educational community and try to get it taught more in classrooms.
Excellent.
If you go to the website, we have a quarterly newsletter, we have a Facebook group, we have a little forum, and we're just, right now what we're doing is we're in the networking stages of trying to connect educators. That's one of the big things. The other thing, of course, is trying to get this Chicago Skeptic Camp or Skeptia Camp together. I think I've got a few other podcasts lined up, actually. I'm not sure exactly when those are supposed to take place, but that's what I have on my immediate radar. Other than that, just keep on teaching and having a fun time doing it, and whenever I can insert anything more that gets kids to think a little more critically about some of these woo-woo claims, I'd like to do that.
Do you happen to be aware of Steve Spangler Science?
Uh, I was looking around on your website. No, I've never heard of it before, but I see it here on your website. Author, teacher, toy designer, and creator of a huge soda mess. Oh, he's the Mentos and Diet Coke guy?
Yep. That would be him. He has got an amazing catalog of science experiments for teachers that are incredibly fun, but the good part about them is many of them mimic paranormal happenings. And, so we've found him to be of incredible value. So you might want to check out his website, stevespanglerscience.com, I believe. Yeah. And, just kind of glance through some of his stuff there, because he really caters to science teachers on opening up kids' eyes and minds a little bit when it comes to this kind of stuff.
And
so
he has the coolest tie-dyed.
Oh yeah, and I think that's something that's really important that people need to understand about you know, skepticism and the skeptical movement. You know, a lot of, and I'm sure you've had to deal with this. You know, you get these people who are, you know, into the woo stuff, and they will dismiss, they'll try to dismiss skeptics kind of with a broad stroke of the brush by saying something like, "Oh, well, you're just, you know, being a negative Nelly, or you're just a cynic and this sort of thing." But what
right.
they What we miss in that, and this is, I think, a message that skeptics really need to put out there, is that we're really offering the cool stuff.
Yes.
I mean, we're really offering the good, cool stuff because it's real. I mean, that's what science is. Science is the real thing. I think Phil Plait, who's now the president, he's the bad astronomer, and he's also the president of the James Randi Educational Foundation.
Right, right.
He put this really, really well in a lecture that I saw one time where he said, you know, the universe is just too cool to go around making up crap about it. Because the universe as it is on its own is so amazing and neat that we don't need to make anything up about it to make it cooler. And the
yes.
best vehicle that we have for studying that is science and the scientific method. And
yeah.
that's what skepticism is about, is trying to put that into everything that we can and in order to understand the universe around us better.
Absolutely. That couldn't be better stated. I was going to bring up something else, and now for some reason my mind is gone. But it's just now hitting 8 o'clock, so we really, really appreciate you coming on the show. This was a lot of fun, and we definitely want to have you back on. And because
we need to come back on anytime.
We need to hear how things continue to go for you. We need to hear how Skeptic Camp goes, and
Reed will let us know
all that kind of stuff. So definitely, we will have you back on soon. But we really appreciate you taking the time this evening to be with us.
And my picture.
Yeah, well,
and the tour is going to bug the hell out of me about the damn picture. So
my mother is requesting it.
Just give her my email address and I can send her a photo or something. I finally remembered her.
Yes.
Sick. I felt so bad that I didn't recognize her at first.
That's okay. She's forgettable.
When I don't have my underwear on my head.
That's
yeah, well, don't get too excited at all. I'm going to have all my clothes on, but still, I'll send you something nice.
It's all right. I've seen you without, so that's carried me for two
Whoa,
years.
Whoa, this show has shifted years.
I did mention that I did a show last summer in Vegas on the big stage, so maybe that's what she's talking about.
could be.
I do have friends.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, the plot thickens, so we will talk to you soon. Thanks again for being with us, and we'll be in touch.
Oh yes, definitely, and thank you very much for having me on.
Not a problem. You're gonna have a great night.
Okay,
bye
bye. Bye
bye. All right, I think I actually got it. Yeah.
It was goodbye.
There was no click or anything. It just went.
I know. That's because he's a physicist.
You know, I have to surf at work more often.
Why is that?
Because I keep finding guests like him.
I know. He's
a great,
cool.
He was a great guest. I really enjoyed it. And I had something come to mind that we needed to talk about, and it seems like it had something to do with Reed.
Has something to do with Reed.
It usually does have something to do with Reed.
But usually we do it off the air.
I will concede. Yeah, that he was definitely a fun guest. I enjoyed having him on, and I think that what he does is so damn vitally important.
It is. Well, like I say, I mean, even for our Science of the Paranormal lecture, the group that he was talking about uh-huh. teachers, they have a bunch of literature, and I've gleaned a lot of it out of there to
For our lectures.
Help us with our lectures, yeah. Like the what is science and all of that. That yeah. came from there.
All the stuff that hopefully is not copywritten, because
if you change more than 25% of it, it's no longer copywritten.
You mean if you just call it Rocky Mountain Paranormal Team?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's almost 25%. That's another thing we need to bring up real quick. The discovery you made today about what we are now.
Part of. I don't have that out right
now. Well, we'll just give a short...
I can give you the details. We're going to be doing a lecture, unfortunately, that will include the legend, and I do mean legend, of the Lafayette...
What you talking about?
How's that?
I'm back. That's better.
That was really weird.
So should I do this again?
And it's like louder.
You're gonna have to. You just got cut off.
Okay. Yeah, that was strange.
I'm gonna do this one more time. Okay. Enjoy it for the third time, people. I was cruising around the web doing some background research for this unfortunate lecture we have to give on the Lafayette vampire. And as I'm cruising around, I find this story that looked kind of interesting because they were talking about it being a real vampire, which nobody says anything about. And then as I'm reading through this little article about it being a real vampire that died and is buried up there, I see the name Rocky Mountain Paranormal pop up because, according to them, the team that researched it came to Rocky Mountain Paranormal, and not only did we help them and come up with the story, we knew one of the victims. Well, it turns out that this is actually part of a scenario for a role-playing game. So not only are we in a romance novel... We are in a role-playing game. But I did find quite a while back there is a website in the UK that gives references for conspiracy and paranormal sites for role-playing games. And we're the number one site.
Wow, nice. That's... That's very crazy.
Yeah.
Well, at least we're number one at something.
We're number one
at two things.
What's the other thing?
The romance novel.
Yeah. How many other paranormal teams are in a romance novel?
We're the
novel?
Only one. I don't know if that's really yes. number one. I
yes.
mean, you know, it's...
Take it from me. It counts.
Well, you count everything, though, when it comes to stuff like that.
I do. So. That's how
All
you make
right.
it out in the market.
All right.
All right, well, are we out of here?
That's
yeah.
it. That's our best
news. What are we doing next week? We got anything planned?
Well, there's a rumor that we're going to have a double booking.
Okay.
I'm not promising anything, but it could be JT live in studio
uh-huh.
and Stephen Walker so live in studio.
That would be cool if we could pull that off.
Because they kind of belong
should,
to each other.
Yeah, they should. They should. So that would be cool.
And if
is it
not,
like a bat fight?
Ooh, wouldn't that? Oh, they're not going to be live in studio. Because
yeah.
we could have that on video,
that's
too.
That's true.
Damn. Well, you know, everybody, it's so great that we're back, and I know that you all think it's great that we're back, because, you know, it is great that we're back, and we're happy to be back, and we will see you all next week, and it sounds like we should have a really fun show next week, as far as I can tell. Steve Walker is the guy who does the haunted houses here in Denver and
Starfest.
So we're going to be bending his ear about trying to get a skeptic track and a paranormal track there at Starfest, so... So,
we can't handle both.
Well, we're not going to do them. We're not going to do them.
Oh.
No, we'll do them.
We'll do panels. Yeah, we'll do panels, though. and lectures and stuff like that. So, does that sound good?
We're out of here.
Good. Sounds good to me.
Bye, y'all.
All right. And now it's time for Notorious favorite song of all time.
You know, I get to like this song.
Somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them. But now I believe them. Somebody told me that you were so stupid.